Good morning, everybody. Today is indeed a wonderful day to be alive. We know that every single day that we wake up is indeed a blessing, right? Because so many precious souls are not able to say the same. And God loves all of us the same. So what is it about us that we've been given another chance at life? So whenever we wake up in the morning, I tell you, it's a good day. I tell everybody that regardless of what happens, regardless of our circumstances, it's a good day. And I had to learn that. Hearing a lesson, I was pricked in my heart. Because a lot of times we depend on God to show a miracle in our life. We're in a bad situation, and we are hurting, and we are in pain, and we are suffering. And we get on our knees, and we pray, God, show me a miracle. Show me a sign, you know. I need to see it now. I need this to happen now. God, deliver me now. Well, he's already done signs. He's already done miracles. Now we have his word, right? And so we have to lean on his word and be patient. It's a hard thing, isn't it, to be patient? And I found myself repenting just today, this morning, when I realized that I have been in sin because I've been falling to my knees praying for a miracle, praying for God to destroy my enemies, you know, get rid of them. I'm tired of it, tired of the persecution. Help me, you know, like a little kid, like a little kid. And I said, here I am. I'm supposed to be a minister, supposed to be a leader, supposed to be an example. And here I am acting like a little spoiled brat. So do we find ourselves in that situation? Yes, even though we've been Christians for years and years, we still behave as children. So here's a little reminder. Let's go to the psalmist in Psalms chapter 3. Make that Psalms chapter 9. Psalms chapter 9. And what we have here is something that can encourage us. And James chapter 1 also echoes this. So here we have the Old Testament saying this. And then we can see the same thing repeated in the book of James as well. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Do we do that on a daily basis? Do we? Okay. What does God say? If you're happy, what? Sing, right? We should be singing all day. Oh, Lord, how good. You remember the old people used to always sing how good Jesus was? Oh, Jesus is so good. And then the woman singing ain't got no legs. Okay. Living in a nursing home with incontinence, ain't got broke, no family come to visit her, and she's singing how good Jesus is. Is she crazy? You know, the woman has no legs, okay? She's in a nursing home. She's got nothing. She's broke, but she's singing about how good Jesus is. So there's something there that maybe we need to learn, right? What is making this woman so happy? Why is this woman happy? Does anybody in here have a clue as to why this legless, nursing home bound, poor lady is singing the joys of Jesus? Why? She's got to be, right? She's got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does she know that most people don't know? Huh? This is open. This is Bible study, you guys. All right, I want to hear you. She knows what? The promises, hope. Christ gives us hope. Promises of what? Everlasting life. Okay? And I have to punch myself in the face. Seriously, I feel guilty. I repent. I'm weak, okay? I'm weak. I'm a spoiled brat at certain times in my life. A lot of times in my life, if I'm going to be honest about it. Okay? Because I understand and I have faith. I know that God can do the things that he can do. And I think it's just like having a mom and daddy with money, a lot of money. And you got, mom, buy me this, buy me this. Why? Because you know they can. They got the money to do it. And so if I have a God that has all power, guess what? I'm going to be jumping on my knees, asking for miraculous things, asking for all these things. But that's not what it's about, is it? The first part of this, I will praise thee, O Lord. Has nothing to do with me at this point, right? The first thing has nothing to do with self. It's not, I'm going to please myself. I'm going to make my situation better. Okay? It's, I will praise thee, O Lord. How do we praise God? How do we praise? What kind of things we can pray? We're singing to him, but what kind of things are we saying when we sing? What do we say? Thank you, Lord. So we're giving thanksgiving to Lord. What else are we doing when we praise him? Huh? In my heart, okay? We love him. He's in our heart. We're telling him how much we love him. Okay, what else are we doing when we praise God? Huh? We're making joyful noise. So if you're making a joyful noise, he commands us to make a joyful noise. So what are you doing? You're following his commandments, right? So you're praising God by following his commandments. How else do we follow his command? I mean, how else do we praise him? Huh? We bow down. We bow and humble ourselves down to him. That's how we praise the Almighty God. Praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all the marvelous works. I'm going to go throughout this world and I'm going to show people how wonderful you are and all the wonderful things that you've done. And I can tell you right here at Main Street, the one thing that I have learned most of all is I have been so inspired by people who are homeless. That gets me when they're still in church. We talk about the love of Jesus Christ. We talk about how God has helped them and how they are praising God, singing to God, worshiping God. They have strong faith in God. And you're like, wait a minute, God hasn't blessed you. You're on the streets, right? Oh, really? God hasn't blessed them? You tell me a person that has nothing, that's lost everything, but they know the truth. They know what really matters. They know the most important thing of life, and that is God. And that is worshiping him. And that is you put your faith and you praise him all the time. What did Job do when he lost everything? Okay, the devil came and slew him and took all of his property, all of his belongings, all of his wealth, and killed his kids and everything. What did he do? Pray. Praise God. Praise God. Glory be the name of God. Never did he once curse God or blame God. He said, God giveth, God taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be. And that's what I had to learn. It doesn't matter. Did I come in the world with anything? Did I come in the world with a home? Okay, did I own a home when I came in the world? Did I own clothes when I came in the world? Did I have money in my pocket when I came in? But naked did I enter this world. But naked, nothing. Guess what? When I leave, same way. So none of the materialistic things matter, right? I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. What does that mean, folks? What does the whole heart mean? How are we praising with our whole heart? Y'all want to tell y'all a story about how I praise him with some of my heart? Oh, yeah, 1 foot in the church, 1 foot in the world. But was I praising him with my whole heart? That's all of it, right? Where's the biblical heart? Okay, so what does that mean about my mind? Where does my mind have to be all the time to praise him with my full heart? Has to be on him 24/7, okay? When we wake up in the morning, our mind needs to be set on God. There's an old song, I think it's a Methodist song. It says, I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on the Lord. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, praise God. Hallelujah, praise God. Hallelujah. And it goes on about preachers, you need to keep your mind stayed on Jesus. Preachers, you need to keep your mind stayed on the Lord. Preachers, you need to keep your mind stayed on Jesus. Hallelujah, praise God. Hallelujah, praise God. Hallelujah. And it goes on, it talks about, you know, your fathers need to keep your mind. Your mothers need to keep your mind. Your children need to keep your mind stayed on the Lord. Woke up this morning, okay? So did we wake up this morning with our minds set on the Lord? Did we go throughout our day with our minds set on the Lord? Did we go to our beds, okay, before we went to sleep with our minds stayed on the Lord? That's how we give our whole self to Him in praise in everything we do. And it is a praise when you have lost everything and you're living on the streets. You don't know how you're going to eat, what clothes you're going to wear, but yet you show up and you're in this church and you are worshiping, okay? And praising God and telling people about God. You know how many people who have lost everything, who've been, are homeless, bring people with them? Tell them about the great stuff that they have here. You can come here and you can hear the word. They're out there doing what we're supposed to be doing, right? Jesus Christ gave us a great commission. Go throughout the world, preach and teach the gospel, making disciples of one another. And you've got a group of people that have nothing, but they have everything. That they are poor, but yet they are the most rich. Why? Because they see the true picture. They see what really matters. It is not anything physical. They've lost that. It's spiritual, the most important thing. So let us go forth. I know that we live in a world right now where we have a lot of enemies. We have people that hate good. Did you hear me? They hate good. They hate Christians. They hate honest people. There's a hatred. There is a demonic force rising in this world. And we see it in America, where people are godless. They don't know Him. They don't know the Son. And guess what? They're full of anger and full of hate. And you see it? No love. We don't see any love, right? In humanity. And so now I feel like we have all these enemies just surrounding us. And it's like, what do we do, God? You know, help us, God. Deliver us from the evil ones. Well, we have to understand that God already foreknew this, right? In verse 2, it says, I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praises to thy name, O thou most high. We go about singing, praising Him. We do that, right? Let's go to verse 3. When my enemies are turned back, they shall fall, okay, and perish at thy presence. They will. That's what's going to happen. Has it happened before? Have there been nations that are against God? There have been nations of Antichrist? Yeah, before. Are they still here today? We read about them in the history books, right? They're no longer here. They were great empires that once lived, but they would rather serve other gods than the one and true high Almighty. So they have perished. And 4 it says, for thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou settest in thy throne, judging right. Rightful judgment. He is in His throne. He's reigning. He's judging right now. He's going to keep us on that right path, right? It is Jesus Christ that directs us. That's why it's so important for us, and I'm guilty of not studying my Bible like I should, because that's how this is what's going to guide us, right? This is going to answer all those questions that we have. How do we talk to God? How do we talk to God? We pray. How does He talk back to us? You got it. Okay? That's communication. So if we really truly want a communication with God, meaning that we talk to Him and He talks back to us, we can't forsake this. We can't forsake the studying of the Word of God, right? So in verse 5, it says, thou hast rebuked the heathen. So we got heathens, people who are just godless, right? People who commit all kinds of sins and crimes. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. Think about some wicked kingdoms that used to exist, and wicked people in power that did wicked things, and they're gone now, right? The Babylonian Empire was destroyed, and we have the Chaldeans and all these groups we can read in the Old Testament, all these nations, all these groups of people. You know, even the giants were destroyed, even the giants. Then you had the empire of in Egypt, okay, that most of us, the Egyptian empire, very powerful throughout the world, you know, world domination, strongest, you know, army. But they fell eventually. The Roman Empire fell eventually, didn't it? And so all the empires before, and we heard about Great Britain, right? The British Empire. Britain still exists, but it's not the empire it used to be. And so we can see that people, once they ruled before and they became godless and set themselves as enemies of God, enemies of his people, God took care of that situation. And so that gives us, as Christians, we understand that we don't have to be consumed by all this evil that's being done, even at a national level. Verse 6 says, O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. Thou hast destroyed cities, that memorial is perished with them. Even the memory of them is perished, right? The memorial of them is perished. And it goes on to say in verse 7, but the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He's going to judge. It's not up to us to do that, right? To judge the nations. He's going to do that. What are we supposed to be doing? The whole duty of man, Ecclesiastes says, what? Fear God, keep his commandments. See, we're busy doing that. We're busy keeping God on our minds and obeying his commandments. And our whole duty is to fear God and keep his commandments. And so we can get wrapped up. Look at the politics that are going on. Look how divisive politics have been. Is it my job to pick a party and then to fight to try to change this world? I used to be a political activist. I had to put my picket signs down, you know, because it's not about that. This world, the destiny of this world has already been prophesied, right? We know what's going to happen with this world. But what is my goal? What did Jesus Christ say as a Christian my commission is? You got it, man. Go to spread that word. Preach the word. Make disciples. I already have my commission. You know, I've already been told that the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. So what am I doing trying my best and giving my whole life and livelihood to try to change something that is already predestined? There's no saving this world. This world's going to be destroyed, isn't it? God's already told us this world's going to be destroyed. So our focus should be on things that are higher. Now let's keep going. Verse 8, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprighteousness. Okay, so he's going to administer judgment. Judgment is a good thing. If you're found to be doing good, yeah, you'll be blessed. Those who are found to be doing bad, they're going to be punished. Simple as that. Verse 9, the Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. We have that song, Shelter in a Time of Storm, right? Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in a time of storm. So that's what we learn by the word as well, that that's where we go. When we're oppressed, our refuge is God. We get on our knees. And sometimes, I'm telling you, just like it said, when the disciples came against some spirits, some demonic entities, they couldn't get out of this person. And then Jesus Christ was able to remove those spirits. So the disciples were like, well, why were we not able to do it? He said, this kind only comes out with prayer and fasting. So sometimes, guess what, people? when we're trying to get to that refuge and trying to get to God, we need to be about praying. Sometimes we got to add fasting to that, right? Meditating on His Word all the time, but remembering that He is a God that cannot lie. If He says He's going to do something, He's going to do it, right? If He says that we have the hope of everlasting life, we know we have it. He says to look beyond this, what we see, right? Focus on that which is above. And when He talks about meditating, the world says meditate on nothing. Transcendental meditation, you know, the metaphysical ways of looking at things is you clear your mind of everything. And then all of a sudden, spiritual things are going to start coming in and dwelling and enlightening you. Okay, and then you're going to transcend to different levels of consciousness by clearing your mind. But the Bible tells us to meditate on the Word of God. So instead of emptying your mind, what are you doing? Filling your mind. Let me tell you this. Let me tell you something on that one. You get an empty cup. You get a cup that's full. Try to pour something in it. Are you going to be able to get anything in that full cup? But now empty that cup. And then set it down. What sorts of things can you pour in that cup? All kinds of things, right? So notice how the devil is tricking the world and saying, meditating on emptying your thoughts. Empty it. Why? Because if your brain is empty, guess what can come in? Anything. Thank you. Anything and everything could come in there. But if we do it the way God says it, to meditate on the Word of God, then you're filling your cup up with the Word of God, and it's so full of the Word of God, guess what? Can't pour nothing in it, can't put nothing in it, right? It's already full. And these are the things, and these are little tricks that Satan uses. He's always in opposition to God. If God says up, Satan says down. If God says forward, Satan says backwards. If God says yes, Satan says no, right? And we see that everywhere where the truth is turned upside down. Let's look at verse 10 says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Let me make sure I'm in the right. Yet trust in thee, and thou, Lord, has not forsaken them that seek thee. See, that was that we understand that God has will not forsake those who seek Him. Now, go back to the example I use about those who are on the streets and lost everything and have been praying, God, get me off these streets, help me to get a home, but they're still on the street. 3 months later, still on the street. 6 months later, still on the street. A year later, still on the streets. 2 years later, still on the streets. 5 years later, still on the street. 10 years later, still on the street. What do you mean? God ain't helping them, right? Are they still alive? In those 10 years of being on the street, did they eat? Were they able to drink? Did they have shelter, some kind of shelter, some kind of clothing? So necessities were taken care of and opportunities. And then what do you know? What God works with us different ways, right? He strengthens us. And in the book of James, it says, count everything with joy, right? Count everything. We're supposed to be joyful always, praying without cease. And in everything, giving thanks. Why? For that's the will of God for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when we go through all these trials and tribulations, what is it supposed to do? What does that do? Strengthens us, right? It gives you what? Patience. There you go. Let's go there and we'll end with that. And I forgot to push my little clock there. Okay, James chapter 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. So in the Psalms, we're talking about the children of Israel, the Hebrew people. Then here in Book of James, we're talking about the Christians, right? My brethren, there we go, we're talking about Christians. Count it all joy when you fall to divers, and that's various different temptations. Knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith worketh what? Patience. Remember the example of the old lady with no legs in the nursing home that's broke, that's praising God? Guess what? She's been through stuff. She's seen God work in her life. Guess what? He's delivered her. He has worked miracles for her. He's been there for her all of her life. So now when she goes, something else happens to her, she's all right. Because she knows beyond a shadow of a doubt, he is there for her. And she knows that she's going to have a new body, right? That's not going to matter. This body comes and goes. You know, our life is like a blink of an eye. I don't care if you live to be 140 years old. That's nothing compared to eternity, right? So she's not concerned about that. Her mind is so spiritual that she's not even focused on the physical anymore. And so that's why when you go through all trials and tribulations, God is going to tell you, when you're on the streets and you're homeless and you're broke and you're struggling for everything every single day, when you have health issues and you wake up with pain and you go to bed with pain, that's not a pleasant situation, right? Jesus Christ himself was about to go through something very unpleasant. What did he do? He pleaded to God. If this cup could pass from me, please let it, okay? But if it's your will, let it be done, all right? So a lot of times we get on our knees and we pray for things to change in our lives, but they don't. We're still in the same situation. I've got things going on right now, still being persecuted, okay? And I'm praying, good Lord, how long is this going to last? But you know what? I just say, what doesn't kill me, right? Makes me stronger. That's one of those worldly things we say. But then God tells us, when you count it all joy, when you go through trials and tribulations. Who else went through trials and tribulations? Can we think? Huh? What'd you say? Say it ain't so. Christ himself went through trials and tribulations. Christ was persecuted? Say it ain't so. The Son of God, as powerful as he is, was persecuted? Doesn't the Bible warn us that if we are to follow him, that we're going to be persecuted as he was persecuted? They lied against him, they'll lie against us. So we are to prepare ourselves, right? We should already be prepared. When the world turns against us, when the world persecutes us because of our Christian belief system, we should already be prepared. Why? We've been already told in the scripture that we're going to suffer. If our master suffered, what makes you think that the servants are not going to suffer the same way? And now we have an opportunity to suffer in joy. Why? Because we are sharing in the same persecution that our Father, our Savior, he was persecuted, and now we're being persecuted the same way. We should count it a joy. If you're persecuted for the sake of God, right? Count it a joy if somebody persecutes you for being a Christian. That was a brownie points right there. My brethren, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall into divers or different temptations, knowing this, that trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. What did you just say, Eric? Break it down in English that I can understand. We go through trials and tribulations, all the bad stuff that happens to us, right? But we don't curse, we don't get angry. Bible says be angry, but what? Sin not, okay? We can be angry at a situation, but we are to be joyful, thankful, because there's too many things that we start. If you really just stop, I don't care how bad your situation is, but you start thinking about the positive things, you're going to find people that are in worse situations than yourself. A whole lot worse. You ever been to Parkland Burn Unit? You ever experienced that? You ever got a little burn on your hand? A burn is a horrible thing. Imagine it being on 95% of your body. You're laying down and your whole body is just burnt and you're in severe pain and there's no medication whatsoever that can take care of that. And you scream in agony and there's nothing you can do. You just, every second, every minute, every hour of your existence is in the most severe agonizing pain that medicine can't touch. I haven't been that way. I haven't had, you know, 90% or 100% of my body burn like that. I still have my limbs, you know. I still have the ability to hear, eyesight. There's so many blessings that I can think about regardless of what my situation is. And that's what we have to look at. Now, even if my life is completely chaos and you look at me and you go, wow, Eric's just, that's a horrible situation. I wouldn't want to be him. But Eric knows that when he dies, he's going to heaven because he's done everything he was supposed to do. Guess what? Eric is a blessed man. Eric is a rich man. You see what I mean? So we're rich. And that's what he wants us to understand. There's a bigger picture. God himself calls us a royal priesthood. Okay? We're royalty. Why? We're children of the king. Okay? We're going to be inheritors of the same gifts that Jesus Christ is blessed with. When we get to heaven, we're going to share in that. We're part of his body, remember? Part of the body of Christ. We're part of him. And so we'll enjoy that inheritance. And so we are more than conquerors. That word Nike stole that from us. That word, that Nike is a Greek word that means more than conquerors. And God says that we, as Christians, are more than conquerors. Jesus Christ gave us the ability to conquer death. And then when we do shed ourselves of this physical mortal body, then we have the gift of everlasting life in heaven, okay? A lot of people, the majority of people don't have that. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to salvation. And few there will be that will find it. Very few. So guess what? We need to count it joy just because we know the truth. That's the most important thing, right? Your soul salvation. If any of you like wisdom, let him ask God that giveth all men liberally and upbraideth not. He's not going to hold back, and it shall be given. So if we don't have wisdom, we ask for it. But we can ask in verse 6 without, we have to have not wavering. That means don't ask for something, but then think, well, you know, I don't think he's going to give it to me. Well, he's not going to give it to you if you ask in that sort of faith, right? You're considered, in verse 8, double-minded. This is another part. In verse 11, we're going to skip over. Or not 11, I'm sorry, 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, right? So that's how we show we love him, by keeping his commandments. But here it says in verse 12, and we're in James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed, and that word blessed means happy, just like the Beatitudes. Happy is the man, blessed is the man, happy is the man that endureth temptations. So it's one thing to go through the temptations, but we have to endure going through the temptations. For when we are tried, that's tested. Once you go through all this whole life, all the things we go through is a test. Once we test it, we'll receive a crown of life. What is that crown of life? In heaven, forever, living in forever, which the Lord hath promised. See, this is a promise. That's why we live by the promises, hope, the promise. To them that love him, to them that keep his commandments. And so we understand that God is a refuge for us. We understand that we have enemies, but God's going to take care of that. We understand that he is on his throne judging, so he's going to judge righteous judgment on those of us who are righteous, and then condemnation to those who reject him. And we understand that, yes, we go through trials and tribulations, but we're supposed to be joyful when we go through those, right? Be joyful always. Pray without cease. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God for those who are in Christ Jesus. So to this evening, or this morning, sorry, I'm so used to the evening worship. This morning, I want to leave you with this. Basically, that do not be consumed about the evil people of this world and the evil that they do. God's going to take care of it. And when you find yourself in a situation where you think God is not listening to you, he is. Guess what? God is not here just where you are right now. God is here in the past. He's in the present and the future. See, a lot of times we don't even know what he has in store for. He does. He's already done it for you. It's already done. What you've been praying for and screaming about and thinking, man, God doesn't hear me, I guess. I guess he don't hear me. That's what Satan wants you to think. Because, see, God's already done it for you. You just can't see it. You're bound by time. You can't see what's in the future, but he's already done it for you. So basically, we just rejoice. When I pray, and this is what we should do, if you really have faith that God is a God that will hear your prayer and answer your prayers, if you pray in righteousness, okay? Don't pray for worldly, secular things, but righteous things. He will hear you and give you those desires of your heart. If you truly believe it, once you pray, you say, thank you, God. Thank you for my blessing. I don't know when I'm going to get it. It may be in tomorrow. It may be in 5 years. It may be in 10 years. It may be in 20 years. I don't know when I'm going to get it. Or what I pray for may be not right for me, and I never get it, right? But I know that whatever he does, it's going to be for my best. Okay. Any questions at this point? I want to open it up for questions or comments. No questions? No comments? Yep. Yep. We used to always say that. We said, God answers prayers always. I said, no, he don't. He didn't answer my prayer. God says either yes or no or wait a while. Isn't that always the case? You pray for something, you either going to get it, you're going to get it later on, or you ain't going to get it at all. Yes. He's an on-time God is what they say. He's always on time. Okay? Maybe not on our time. Okay? He don't make any mistakes. And I'm telling you, I've got to humble myself because there are some things I was wanting, like I want it now. Let it happen now. I want to see the enemy fall right before my eyes, you know. And I'm going, that's childish. It really is. You know, I'm acting like a spoiled brat once again. And so I just had to repent. And I thank God that he is a patient God and that he loves us so much, you know, that even when we were in our sins, he sent his son on the earth to die for us so that we could have the hope of everlasting life. Any other comment or question? Okay, if not, may God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word.